This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A majority of Americans believe George W. Bush either lied or deliberately exaggerated evidence that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in order to justify war, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. The survey results, which show declining support for the war in Iraq and for Bush's leadership in general, indicate the public is increasingly questioning Bush's truthfulness, a concern for Bush's political advisors as his re-election bid gets underway. Barely half, 52%, now believe Bush is honest and trustworthy, down 7 percentage points since late October and his worst showing since the question was first asked in March of 1999. 54% thought Bush exaggerated or lied about pre-war intelligence. In a blow to the Bush administration, the Senate Intelligence Committee said Thursday that it planned to investigate whether White House officials exaggerated the Iraq threat or pressured analysts to tailor their assessments of Baghdad's weapons programs to bolster the case for war. The move puts claims made by George W. Bush and other senior officials in his administration squarely in the sights of the committee's investigation and could add to the White House's political troubles as it tries to keep questions about the war from becoming a drag on Bush's re-election campaign. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said Thursday Congress should reinstate budget rules that would force lawmakers to cover the estimated $1 trillion that it will cost to make George W. Bush's tax cuts permanent. Greenspan said he favored reductions in government spending to pay for making the tax cuts permanent and suggested that one place to look should be in reducing the Social Security benefits paid to retirees. Appearing before the Senate Banking Committee, Greenspan said he has been urging since the fall of 2002 that budget rules known as PAYGO, which require any tax cuts or increases in government entitlement spending be paid for by either raising taxes in other areas or cutting government spending, be reinstated. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500. Or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Relatives of a kidnap victim in Taiwan struck a passing motorcyclist with more than $600,000 in cash when they tossed the ransom money to the kidnappers from a highway overpass. The $600,000 ransom, packed into two nylon bags, landed on 57-year-old Liu Fang Nan when he rode under the overpass just as a relative of the victim delivered the money, according to kidnappers' instructions. Liu, who later sought medical attention for swelling and bruising of his left leg, said he rode off not realizing he had been toppled off his motorcycle by a small fortune. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
My job is to secure the homeland, proclaimed George W. as he announced major budget increases for homeland surveillance, and that's exactly what we're going to do. To make all of us feel secure, he has hiked the FBI's budget above $5 billion a year, a 60% increase since Bush took office. Good. Now maybe the agency will have the resources to redouble its keen-eyed effort to protect us homelanders from the obvious danger posed by people who carry almanacs. The almanac threat first came to public notice last Christmas Eve when the FBI's intelligence bulletin went out to 18,000 police organizations urging America's vast law enforcement network to be on alert during traffic stops and other investigations for anyone carrying almanacs. Yes, like the World Almanac or the always suspicious Old Farmer's Almanac. The agency bulletin noted that these deviously deceptive documents are replete with such details as weather trends, profiles of cities, and lists of tall buildings. The FBI's language was blunt, if not exactly sparkling. The practice of researching potential targets is consistent with known methods of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations that seek to maximize the likelihood of operational success through careful planning. Good grief. As a World Almanac editor pointed out about the September 11th terrorists, they certainly didn't need the almanac to locate the Twin Towers. With Bush's budget hike, maybe the agency can focus attention on people who use phone books and dictionaries, too. Who knows what kind of subversive stuff such people might be looking up? One can only imagine what the FBI would have done to Benjamin Franklin, the publisher of Poor Richard's, America's first almanac. But then, he was a subversive. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Hey, George, your job is not just to secure the homeland, but to secure our Bill of Rights as well, and to stop agencies from so grossly wasting our tax dollars."
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, happy Lupercalia, truth seekers. Welcome to the program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. 800-TALK-YES is a phone number. And if you'd like to email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. 10 episodes of this program left after tonight, so don't be shy. We have some audio clips of Bush stammering about education tonight, plus a bit of Simple Scotty, but later in the program. We will try to determine tonight whether or not Dennis Kucinich will find true love with actress Jennifer Tilly. Is this guy the luckiest presidential candidate ever? I love Jennifer Tilly's voice. Yeah, there's a couple other things about her that are very appealing, too. She's a great actress. What? Yeah, Dennis went from this program to The Tonight Show. That's okay. Hell of a step up, but really it's just kind of a parallel step, right? Do you have something to say, Madam Producer? I see you pulling your microphone down to mouth level. No? All right. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Kathy, all this evening, will be playing love music on the program. Love music. Little information here. I know you don't want it, but you tuned in early, and therefore you're stuck. Little information here about Valentine's Day. It is celebrated as a lover's holiday today with the giving of candy, flowers, or other gifts between couples in love. However, the origins of Valentine's Day is that it started in 5th century Rome as a tribute to a Catholic bishop who subsequently became Saint Valentine. But for 800 years prior to the establishment of Valentine's Day by the Church, the Romans had practiced a pagan celebration in mid-February commemorating young men's rite of passage to the god Lupercus. Or is it Lupercus? How do you say it, Kathy? The celebration featured a lottery in which young men God, would draw the names of teenage girls from a box. The girl assigned to each man in that manner would be his sexual companion during the remaining year. Well, you know how that couldn't last very long, right? So in an effort to do away with this pagan festival, 800 years in existence, the Roman Pope Galatius ordered a slight change in the lottery. Instead of the names of young women, the box would contain the names of saints. Both men and women were allowed to draw from the box now, and the game was to emulate the ways of the saint they drew during the rest of the year. Needless to say, many of the young Roman men were not too pleased with the changes in the rules. Instead of the pagan god Lupercus, the church looked for a suitable patron saint of love. Where do you find this stuff? To take his place. They found an appropriate choice in Father Valentine, who in the year A.D. 270, or just in the year 270, had been beheaded by the Roman Emperor Claudius. Well, okay, I'll tell you why. Claudius had determined that married men made poor soldiers, so he banned marriage from his army. But Valentine, Father Valentine, or Priest Valentine, would secretly marry young men that came to him. When Claudius found out about this, he first tried to convert Valentine to paganism. Valentine instead reversed the strategy, tried to convert Claudius, and as a result, he was stoned and beheaded. You don't try to convert the Roman emperor, do you? During the days of Valentine was imprisoned, waiting to be stoned and beheaded, he fell in love with the blind daughter of his jailer. His love for her and his great faith managed to miraculously heal her from her blindness before he was stoned and beheaded. I guess that's how he got to be a saint, right? Before he was taken to his death, Valentine signed a farewell message to her. The way he signed off was, "From your Valentine." That's right. The phrase has been used to this day ever since, on this day ever since. Although the lottery for women had been banned by the church, the mid-February holiday in commemoration of St. Valentine was still used by Roman men to seek the affection of Roman women. It became a tradition for the men to give the ones they admired handwritten messages of affection containing Valentine's name. Almost finished. Stay with me. The first Valentine card grew out of this practice. The first true Valentine card was sent in 1415 by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife. At the time he sent the card, he was imprisoned in the Tower of London, waiting to be beheaded. is that where the expression, "Oh, God, I was so in love, I just lost my head"? Is that what that means? Cupid, another symbol of the holiday, became associated with it because he, Cupid, was the son of Venus, the Roman god of love and beauty. All right. Now, that was then. This is now. A group of high school students across the country today wore white T-shirts. They wore white T-shirts to celebrate Day of Purity. I'm not. This is on CNN. Melissa Mills feels bombarded by everyday messages of sexual promiscuity, whether it's Janet Jackson's bare breast or her classmates' casual sex talk. So Ms. Millis, a high school senior in Michigan, and thousands of other students across the nation, wore white T-shirts to school today, the day before Valentine's Day, to publicly show their commitment to not having sex outside marriage. They're calling their effort the Day of Purity. The grassroots effort is supported by Christian groups nationwide. Well, then it's not grassroots, is it? Oh, well. And organized by Liberty Council, a conservative religious rights group based in Orlando. Oh, my God. The Day of Purity website accuses groups that promote sexual tolerance, like the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network and PFLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians, Gays. The Day of Purity website accuses those groups of, quote, a concerted effort in the schools and media to turn our youth away from traditional values. Oh, the bastards. I just added that last part. Eliza Beyer, Deputy Executive Director for the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, said in an email that her group applauded any effort to promote healthy sexual choices by young people. Participants said having the Day of Purity right before Valentine's Day is especially appropriate since teenagers often feel pressure to have sex with their girlfriends or boyfriends on the holiday. Well, at least you kids know who to blame it on now. It goes back to the Roman men and that damned god, Lupercus. Aren't y'all going to miss this, huh? Aren't y'all going to miss this? Oh, my God. Does the pig man ever explain about Valentine's Day, Kathy? Huh? Plus, a correction from last night when I was talking about judgment at Nuremberg. A lot of folks emailed in from Carol. I looked at on the Internet for judgment at Nuremberg and checked the cast. Charles Laughton wasn't in it because I had made the statement Charles Laughton and Marlene Dietrich, and that's where Charles Laughton said, you are, in fact, a liar! Wrong movie. Carol writes in, Spencer Tracy, Maximilian Schell, Richard Widmark, Burt Lancaster, and so forth. What a great movie. I got to see it again on video sometime. I also went to his website, whose? Burt Lancaster, I guess, and checked all the films he was in. He wasn't in that one. I do remember him in Spartacus. No, I guess she's referring to Charles Laughton. Yeah, okay. Another Carol, wasn't the prosecutor Richard Widmark from Kyra in Manhattan? Hi, Mike. Just for your information, Laughton and Dietrich were in Witness for the Prosecution. It wasn't Judgment at Nuremberg. Laughton played a defense attorney in Witness for the Prosecution going against Dietrich. Okay, and Stephen wrote in, the movie is Witness for the Prosecution. Okay, and Daryl, our Detroit bureau chief, sent me a whole damn thing here on Judgment at Nuremberg, a 1961 film. Yada. Okay, wrong movie. I thought it was Judgment at Nuremberg. It was Witness for the Prosecution. Also, vis-a-vis last night, we were talking about white people trying to understand Colin Powell and not really being able to do it. Well, Diana emailed in, I think white women can understand how blacks feel about Colin Powell. It must be how I feel when I see women like Ann Coulter or Phyllis Schlafly or Anna Nicole. These bitches have made their fortunes by either kissing up to the sexist pig males and or fulfilling the sexist pig male stereotype of women. You have no idea how deeply I hate these women. Though I feel sorry for Anna Nicole, I think she's too stupid to realize that what she's done and what she's got for it wasn't worth it. Her punishment will come when she gets old and all the attention disappears. Phyllis Schlafly is too brainwashed to ever realize it. And Ann Coulter? Well, she's not really a woman. Can't be. Right. I hear that. What is this? And the last one. Marie in Dallas sent this in. She found it from a website. It's a quote. Oh, it's Bush. I think I think people now important that the leader of free world have teeth that can defend the nation, proud, freedom-loving teeth. And you know that when you have teeth, you have the freedom of having teeth, free freedom, free nations have free teeth. And my teeth served in the National Guard. My teeth were not AWOL, and I released records that showed that I have teeth. I released them in 2000 when this came up before, and these are still, I have teeth, and the records show that. Don't you love her? Hey.
am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week, I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
There ain't no cure, there ain't no cure, there ain't no cure for love.
There ain't no cure for love. There ain't no cure.
It's not your father's talk radio, it's
All
Mike Malloy.
Ships are climbing through the sky, the whole air books are open wide. The doctor's working day and night, but they'll never ever find that cure for love.
Ain't no dream.
24th past the hour. Robin and Victor sent this in today. Mike thought you might get a giggle, howl, or a plain old fashioned Jesus Christ out of this. Apparently, it's not just the Jews Mel wants to put to the sword. Signed, Robin Victor. So here it is. This is from MSNBC. Mel Gibson has come under fire for being hard on Jews in his film The Passion of the Christ, but apparently he feels that Protestants are also doomed to damnation. In fact, it looks like Gibson, a conservative Catholic, believes that his Episcopalian wife will be going to hell. Gibson was interviewed by the Herald Sun in Australia, and the reporter asked the star, "If Protestants are denied eternal salvation," Gibson replied, "There's no salvation for those outside the church. I believe it." He went on to say, "Put it this way, my wife is a saint. She's a much better person than I am, honestly. She's like Episcopalian, Church of England. She prays, she believes in God, she knows Jesus, she believes in that stuff. It's just not fair if she doesn't make it. She's better than I am." "But that's a pronouncement from the chair. I go with it." He means the Pope. Gibson also said in the interview that he was nearly suicidal before he made his film. He says, quote, "I got to a very desperate place, very desperate, kind of jump out of the window kind of desperate. And I didn't want to hang around here and I didn't want to check out. The other side was kind of scary and I don't like heights anyway. But when you get to that point where you don't want to live and you don't want to die, it's a desperate, horrible place to be. And I just hit my knees and I had to use the Passion of the Christ to heal my wounds." His wife had no comment. What is it with Christians? They always talk about their fear of death. I don't understand that. He says, "I didn't want to hang around here and I didn't want to check out. The other side was kind of scary." How could it be scary, Mel? It's you and Jesus and Mary and all the apostles and all the disciples and all the martyrs. What's scary? It's streets of gold and little angels and what's scary, Mel? There's no disease, sickness, death. What's scary, Mel? What is it with these people? So now we know the Passion of the Christ is Mel's response to suicidal impulses. Oh, Jesus, I can't wait to get a ticket to that. How about you, Kathy? I have seen about as much as everybody else has seen who hasn't been invited to a screening, and that is the little 5, 6, 7, 10 second clips of the historical Jesus having the Jesus beat out of him, if you will. I mean, just pounding the living hell out of him. Blood all over the street. Okay, boy, that's what a fun movie that's going to be. And then you have these folks come out and say, "Yes, it just restored my belief in Christ. Oh, the violence and the blood and the gore and the beatings and the screaming and the crucifixion. Oh, it's so filled with love. I love my Savior. Oh, God." What is up with that? What am I missing? It's a horror film. It's somebody who apparently, I guess, believed in peace and turned the other cheek. And look how the historical Christ has been turned into an utter horror by these modern-day Christians. Just absolutely bastardized. And now Mel Gibson jumps on the bandwagon. Your phone calls when we come back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Everyone has a fundamental right to clean air, clean water, and other natural assets, according to a new book by that name. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Nature belongs to everyone and should be managed for the benefit of all people. That's the core argument in Natural Assets, a new book edited by James Boyce and Barry Shelley. Boyce says environmental protection should directly address the needs of people living in poor and polluted communities.
What we try to put forward in our book, Natural Assets, is a very different view in which the relationship between humans and nature can be positive as well as negative, where people can do good things for the environment as well as bad things for the environment, and where everybody has an equal right to a clean and safe environment founded on a kind of democratic principle of ownership of our common resources, clean air, clean water, land, and right to a livelihood.
Boyce favors more ecological restoration, cleaning up pollution, replenishing fisheries and forests, and he advocates an idea called coevolution, where humans manage nature for the benefit of both.
When humans are investing in natural assets, either through ecological restoration, you know, cleanup, reforestation, etc., or through coevolution, by making nature richer and more diverse, all of that creates jobs, it creates wealth, it creates livelihoods. And so we don't see there as being any inherent contradiction or opposition between measures to protect the environment and measures to improve people's economic well-being. On the contrary, we see those two going hand in hand.
That's James Boyce, co-editor of Natural Assets. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Mm-hmm. Don't imagine you're too familiar.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Times of trouble, we never could have come this far. I took the good.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, or Lupercalia, or Valentine's Day. What the hell is it? It's Valentine's Day. Why do I keep saying Thanksgiving? Man, I've got to cut back on the carrot juice. I don't know what's going on. Oh, by the way, you can double your pleasure and double your fun. We've been notified we'll be on Fox News Channel twice tomorrow night at 8:30 and again at 8:50. But I've heard that jive turkey nonsense before, so we'll see. But tune in if you got the guts, and maybe I'll do something that will guarantee I'll never work in the media business again. I don't know. It depends. Who's this? Oh, my God, it's Brother Sky Blue from Memphis, Tennessee. Brother Sky, haven't heard from you for a while. How are you?
Mike, I've been thinking about calling you all week.
Well, here you are.
You know, Lord showed me in the spirit, Mike, that you disc jockeys sit around in them chairs in them radio studios a lot, and you're susceptible to hemorrhoids.
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
I prayed, and so now I have sent a veil of anointing around your chair there in that studio, and God has healed you of hemorrhoids before you even get them.
Well, it's worked.
That's how cutting edge and new age the theology of Emmanuel Swedenborg is revealed in his writing, 200-year-old writings,
right.
Available in most public libraries. But anyway, Mike, I have some real good news.
Oh, good. Share it with us if you would.
I save a lot of money on car insurance riding a bicycle. No, but seriously, I do have some good news. My marijuana dealer went off probation and he's back in business now. You know, I get wholesale. I was beginning to go crazy sniffing that glue, man.
I hear that. I do hear that, yeah.
You know, I call marijuana holy weed. I noticed on the first page in Genesis it said God gives to man every herb-bearing seed, even before he gave him a woman.
There you go.
And so, but no, I've been down here in Memphis, you know. I've got a little ministry down here on Beale Street. You know, I'm praying over lotto tickets now. We got the lottery here in Tennessee.
That's up to $150 million
now. Yeah, and of course, I'm still baptizing infants, too.
No, well, that's good.
Getting the veil of protection on them.
You got to have a backup.
Into the New Age Church of Jesus Christ. That's where, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about this gospel according to Mel
Gibson.
You know, I understand he's Catholic, and from what I hear, and that he gets off on the Latin Mass.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is great, but this just shows one other thing, that these Protestants, you know, they're using, like you say, this movie. They're telling on this religious networks they got. They're telling to go see this movie,
uh-huh,
and then stand outside and hand these people's little flyers with the name of their church and just said, you know, if you felt sorry for Jesus being nailed up on that cross, well, call us. You know, they're like the wolf out there in sheep's clothes.
Uh-huh,
and they got that rose in their hand, and
yeah,
when they approach you, but behind their back, they got that bloody dagger.
That's the truth.
Because they want to murder your brain. They want to force you to submit your mind,
yeah,
to this theology that they've invented on the mass media.
Amen.
This Michael Powell, head of the FCC, what he wants to enforce indecency rules on TV. Has he ever heard about cablevision or the internet? I mean, a woman's breast. What about the late in the Sunday night lady, sex lady? You know, I hear she's on pain pills myself. They're going to be investigating that woman pretty soon. And Jerry Springer, they all get naked. Them big, fat, tall, skinny, everybody gets naked on Jerry Springer. And then Howard Stern, that's your...
Right.
Yeah, that's your...
compadre.
No. You know we're close to Howard Stern. Howard Stern's, Howard Stern's vision of intellect is take your clothes off. It's like down here in Fraser, outside of Memphis, they say the foreplay out there consists of getting a truck, bitch. But, you know, access of John Cuyu public like me down here on this cold, hard Beale Street,
yeah,
the lack of access to the mass media. We got these all-night cable stations, and now I've got these girls and these weight machines.
Uh-huh.
What about get 15 minutes of fame all night? You can be the American Idol for 15 minutes, you know.
Amen.
I think they probably get some listeners. But, no, well, like I'd say, I get around my bottom line, of course, is nobody really can understand the book of Genesis and the riddles and how all of the symbolism or the book of the Revelation.
Right.
You know, they've used in this, these right-wing conservative fundamentalists, so-called religious right. You know, there is a religious left.
There is,
but
indeed,
they own the media. They own this Michael Powell,
amen,
the head of the FCC.
Amen.
And I'm just going to get carried away here in Memphis in a minute, Mike, so I don't know. I guess I just, you know, when my blood pressure gets up like this, I just need to sit down, take a few deep breaths.
Smoke a doobie.
And yeah, no, I can't smoke anymore tonight. I've already had four hits today, two this morning. I mean, like that. This stuff is so good, man.
I hear you. Brother Sky, thanks for checking in. You have a good evening. You know, I think that's really Bart Cop.
No?
No? Lord have mercy. Well, you know, he made a point there, Brother Sky did, that just blew right over the top of my head when I was doing the story on Mel Gibson talking about how his wife will probably burn in hell because it comes from the chair, and I guess the chair is where the Pope sits, that, you know, you must be a Catholic or you're not going anywhere except, where do the Catholics send people now? Limbo, or is that still around? My first wife was Catholic, and she used to pray for the pagan babies, and I didn't know what those were. I thought they were candies. I thought pagan babies were those little candies that came in a bag that back then you could get for a dime. And my first wife said, no, pagan babies are the children who die, who around the world who have never heard the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as presented by one of the local nuns or priests. And so when you go to church, you buy candles and you put money in the box and you pray for the pagan babies. And it just used to fascinate me, the pagan baby thing. But what Mel Gibson has said is that Protestants are obviously not going to go to heaven. Now, whether or not they will go to the everlasting fire pits of hell, I guess, is open for theological debate. But the point I'm trying to make, God, I'm starting to sound like Brother Sky Blue. The point I'm trying to make is that all these fundamentalist, psychopathic, Protestant, evangelical pastors who are sending their flocks off to see this movie, which, according to the director of the movie, is designed to either get you to convert to Catholicism or never be able to gaze upon the beautiful face of Christ up in heaven, or God. Forget God, you ain't even going to see Christ. So I just wonder if these Protestant ministers who are sending their flocks off to see this movie understand what Mel Gibson said today. Essentially, what Mel Gibson said today is Protestants burn in hell, along with the Jews, along with the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the agnostics and the atheists. Whew. So, but we know now why Mel Gibson made the movie, according out of his own mouth. He was feeling suicidal. Okay. Usually when I start feeling suicidal, I'll just eat a Hershey bar. It means my blood sugar's down. But I haven't felt that way in a long time. Not since I've been married to Kathy. I used to feel that way, but for the past 8 years, I've been all right. Dan is calling from Fort Worth, Texas, our bureau chief there, it says here. Hey, Dan.
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Well, of course, with everyone else, I sure hate to see the 27th come.
We got 10 more shows, Dan.
Well,
not many, is it?
Well, don't know what I'm going to do when you're gone. Anyway.
Well, we'll find someplace. Maybe we'll get Randy Rhodes' old spot, since it looks like something great's going to happen for her. Maybe we'll go to work for her old station. What do you think, Kathy? I don't know. We'll wind up someplace, Dan.
Well, I hope so, and I'll keep up with it on your website. But don't even know what I wanted to say other than hate to see you go, and amen to Brother Sky Blue.
Isn't he something? Oh,
well, ain't that the deal.
Brother,
I'll tell you what.
Brother Sky is a job and a half.
And I guess I actually just wanted to throw a couple of pennies worth in on this Colin Powell thing. I enjoyed listening to Brother Carl's insights on it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is I personally, prior to January of 2001, was one of the people who had a great deal of respect for Colin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever respect I may have ever had for the man has dwindled and gone away.
I hear that.
And because I was aware during the campaign between Gore and Herr Bushler that if he were to be elected or selected president, as it turned out, that we would be at war. And I'm opposed to that at all levels, but I knew it was coming. And as the development on the lead up to the war began, I, of course, hoped that Colin Powell would be a voice of reason that would somehow prevent the inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Didn't work out. He sold his soul.
February 5th, 2003 was one of the sorriest displays of integrity I've ever seen in my life, because there was absolutely no integrity in that presentation to the UN whatsoever.
That's right. That's right.
And since February 5th, a year ago, I have absolutely no respect for the man, and it's very sad. I thought it was one of the saddest days in history for African Americans in this country.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I guess that's kind of what Carl was saying last night. And in a broader sense, it was a sorry day for all Americans to see the Secretary of State sit in front of the United Nations and make the statements that he made, knowing, as we now find out in retrospect, and it's not Monday morning quarterbacking, knowing that Colin Powell must have, because he's not a fool, he must have known that what he was sitting there saying was either an absolute lie or was not verified by any independent verification or our own intelligence services. So shame on Colin Powell, shame on him, and I kind of feel like you. I thought there was a moral anchor in that administration in Colin Powell, even given his history in Vietnam. A lot of people did a lot of weird things in Vietnam that hopefully they have atoned for, and I just figured Colin Powell was a moral anchor, but he turned out not to be. Dan, thank you for checking in, pal.
Hope to hear you back on before long.
At some point you will. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, sir. I always sound real confident about that, don't I, Kathy? I have no idea what's going to happen. I really don't. Don't have a clue. Dan, one of our over-the-road truckers, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, is calling from near Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey. Thanks.
Yeah, I am listening to you on Sirius right now, and I just kind of wanted that phone caller, Brother Sky, there kind of said a mouthful, but I guess the obvious thing would be the connection between fundamentalist Christianity and right-wing politics is fear, you know, this control, mind control of the general populace through keeping us in fear of them and in fear of each other, which goes so unnoticed by the general public, you know, the way the media works and everything. And I don't know, I just, listening to all the conversation, I was reminded of John Ashcroft's high-expenditure attempt to cover a sculptured breast in the name of decency.
Yeah, yeah.
And that action was just so symbolically fear-based. And it's been like their whole modus operandi. Just keep everyone afraid of us and each other, and we can rule. And same thing with the Catholic Church, and same thing with all this stuff. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Well, you make good points, Dan. Fear seems to be, if not the single most effective motivator in human experience, it's certainly in the top two or three. And it's a shame when politicians and religious leaders use it as a weapon, use it as a club to beat people into line. It's especially true when politicians use it. I hope someday we can transcend that. Dan, drive safely. Thank you for checking in, sir.
All right. Good talking to you. I'll call you again before you guys are out of episodes.
I look forward to it.
All right,
sir. Take care. Speaking of Catholics, did you hear about the four California nuns who were among six passengers told to get the hell off American Airlines flight about a month ago? American Airlines, that's the same airline that had the pilot come on and say, this is your captain speaking. I've got you for the next 5 hours. I'd like all the Christians on this airplane to raise your hand. Now, you folks who are not Christian or didn't raise your hand, if you'll turn to one of those people, raise your hand, and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, well, four California nuns were thrown off an American Airlines flight because crew members complained of a sulfur smell in the cabin.
For some fresh ice cubes. I'm just sitting here waiting for you. Come on home and turn me on. Turn me on.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Looking out for love in the night so still.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Happy Valentine's Day. If we don't get your call before the break here, which we probably won't, stay there. We'll get you right after. So, four California nuns and two other people were, everybody was taken off a one of these American Airlines flights. Boy, those people are going crazy over there. Everybody's taken off. Six people were held for questioning, and four of the six were Catholic nuns. One of them, Sister Tessie Pius, the principal of Mary Immaculate Queen School in Lemoore, California. Now, I should mention that the photograph at CNN showed just one of the nuns, and she was, I believe, she looked Filipino, maybe. So, she was of India. She and the three other, all four of the nuns are natives of India. Well, I guess that would explain the sulfur smell, right? Of course not. But you see how people's minds work. This happened in Dallas, Texas. They were allowed to board another flight. They were going back to Fresno. This was on January 2nd, but they were hauled off. A spokesman for American Airlines said the attendants on the Fresno flight reported something that smelled like sulfur. Well, that would be Satan, wouldn't it? And the pilot ordered all of the passengers to deplane. All but six were quickly cleared to reboard the aircraft. And all of those, the other six, eventually were cleared and booked on another flight. Sister Pius said she and her fellow nuns were detained for about 6 hours, and their bags were searched over and over. The only explanation they were given was that, quote, the crew members and the pilot did not feel comfortable taking us on the plane, end quote. Spokesman for American Airlines would not go into detail as to why the four nuns were held for additional screening, calling it a matter of privacy. Four nuns! Oh, my God! So to speak. So the steward eye or the flight attendants, they smell sulfur and brimstone, and they see red eyes on the wings of the airplane. Blah! And they detain the nuns. All right. God, quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to America's Sweetheart, Mike Malloy, on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Reception is easy when you put your love.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A majority of Americans believe George W. Bush either lied or deliberately exaggerated evidence that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in order to justify war, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. The survey results, which show declining support for the war in Iraq and for Bush's leadership in general, indicate the public is increasingly questioning Bush's truthfulness, a concern for Bush's political advisors as his re-election bid gets underway. Barely half, 52%, now believe Bush is honest and trustworthy, down 7 percentage points since late October and his worst showing since the question was first asked in March of 1999. In a blow to the Bush administration, the Senate Intelligence Committee said Thursday that it planned to investigate whether White House officials exaggerated the Iraq threat or pressured analysts to tailor their assessments of Baghdad's weapons programs to bolster the case for war. The move puts claims made by George W. Bush and other senior officials in his administration squarely in the sights of the committee's investigation and could add to the White House's political troubles as it tries to keep questions about the war from becoming a drag on Bush's re-election campaign. The White House and Republican leaders in Congress had sought for months to confine the inquiry to the performance of the CIA and other intelligence agencies and to insulate the administration. The Senate panel voted unanimously Thursday to expand the probe after some GOP members appeared ready to break from the Republican position. A relative of the late Winton Red Blount recalled George W. Bush in Alabama 32 years ago as a heavy drinker who was more interested in talking about his alcohol consumption than discussing his service with a guard or even running Blount's Senate campaign. C. Murphy Archibald, Blount's nephew and an attorney in Charlotte, North Carolina, who served as an Army lieutenant in Vietnam, tried to talk with Bush about the military when he learned he was in the Air National Guard, but Bush didn't seem interested, he said. Recalling the 1972 campaign, he said Bush seemed to enjoy talking about the amount of beer he had drunk the night before. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An angry husband who came across the video of his wife having sex with her lover on the internet called the police, who arrested a man suspected of filming a string of people without their consent, police said Thursday. The 25-year-old cheating wife had been secretly filmed and the video was posted on the net when the man stumbled across it. The husband saw his wife and immediately called a prosecutor to get his wife's clip off the net, a police source said. The suspect filmmaker was charged with violating a Sensitive Personal Information Act.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved.
I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
My job is to secure the homeland, proclaimed George W. as he announced major budget increases for homeland surveillance, and that's exactly what we're going to do. To make all of us feel secure, he has hiked the FBI's budget above $5 billion a year, a 60% increase since Bush took office. Good. Now maybe the agency will have the resources to redouble its keen-eyed effort to protect us homelanders from the obvious danger posed by people who carry almanacs. The almanac threat first came to public notice last Christmas Eve when the FBI's intelligence bulletin went out to 18,000 police organizations urging America's vast law enforcement network to be on alert during traffic stops and other investigations for anyone carrying almanacs. Yes, like the World Almanac or the always suspicious Old Farmer's Almanac. The agency bulletin noted that these deviously deceptive documents are replete with such details as weather trends, profiles of cities, and lists of tall buildings. The FBI's language was blunt, if not exactly sparkling. The practice of researching potential targets is consistent with known methods of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations that seek to maximize the likelihood of operational success through careful planning. Good grief. As a World Almanac editor pointed out about the September 11th terrorists, they certainly didn't need the almanac to locate the Twin Towers. With Bush's budget hike, maybe the agency can focus attention on people who use phone books and dictionaries, too. Who knows what kind of subversive stuff such people might be looking up? One can only imagine what the FBI would have done to Benjamin Franklin, the publisher of Poor Richard's, America's first almanac. But then, he was a subversive. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Hey, George, your job is not just to secure the homeland, but to secure our Bill of Rights as well, and to stop agencies from so grossly wasting our tax dollars."
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude, and here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Don't go wasting your emotions. Lay on the love of me.
Woo!
We ought to do a night where we do nothing but ABBA. Didn't we do that one time? Year or so ago, a couple of years ago, we had all ABBA. I don't mean as bumper music. I mean just come on and do an hour's worth of ABBA. Shirley or Ken sent this in. Mike, you have just created a terrible dilemma for me. I am Catholic, and now you say Mel Gibson said I'm going to heaven. But some time ago, a neighbor who is an evangelical or a fundamentalist Christian told me I'm going to hell. When I asked her why, in astonishment, she said, "Because you're Catholic." Now I don't know what to pack to take with me, my cool summer clothes for hell or my finest attire for heaven. Happy Thanksgiving if you're just joining us. From Kathy and I, happy Lupercalia. Did I say Thanksgiving again? Happy Valentine's Day is what I mean. Well, I got an email here from somebody, Kathy, that said the reason I keep confusing is because I'm very thankful that I'm married to you.
Oh, well,
that's... There you go. Happy Valentine's Day.
So it's not the Alzheimer's.
I hope not. Happy Lupercalia. Happy, what was the other one? The other way this holiday has been identified. Oh, well, we did all that the first hour. If you weren't here, too bad. Tomorrow at twice, I'll be on Fox News Channel, so they say. You never know. John Kasich, who does From the Heartland on Fox, may have second thoughts and decide not to do it, but at 8:30 and again at 8:50, so tune in. They'll have some right-wing freak on there with me like they always do. All right, we're coming back to your calls here in just a second, but who sent this to me? I don't even know. This is from a Protestants for the Common Good. It says, this internet message on biblically grounded principles for public policy on marriage made its way to Protestants for Common Good. We pass it along here. You've probably seen this. Matter of fact, I think I did this over the air a week or so ago. So one more time. The presidential prayer team is currently urging us to pray for the president as he seeks wisdom on how to legally codify the definition of marriage. Pray that it will be according to biblical principles. With any forces insisting on variant definitions of marriage, pray that God's word and his standards will be honored by our government. This is true. Any good religious person believes prayer should be balanced by action. So here, in support of the prayer team's admirable goals, is a proposed constitutional amendment codifying marriage entirely on biblical principles. A. Marriage in the United States shall consist of a union between one man and one or more women. Genesis 29, verses 17 through 28, 2 Samuel 3, verses 2 through 5. B. Marriage shall not impede a man's right to take concubines in addition to his wife or wives. 2 Samuel 5, verse 13, 1 Kings 11, verse 3, and 2 Chronicles 11, verse 21. C. A marriage shall be considered valid only if the wife is a virgin. If the wife is not a virgin, she shall be executed. Deuteronomy 22, verses 13 through 21. D. Marriage of a believer and a non-believer shall be forbidden. Genesis 24, 3, Numbers 25, 1 through 9, Ezra chapter 9, verse 12, Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 30. E. Since marriage is for life, neither this Constitution nor the Constitution of any state, nor any state or federal law shall be construed to permit divorce. Deuteronomy 22, verse 19, Mark 10, verse 9. F. If a married man dies without children, his brother shall marry the widow. If he refuses to marry his brother's widow, or deliberately does not give her children, he shall pay a fine of one shoe and be otherwise punished in a manner to be determined by the law. Genesis 38, verses 6 through 10, Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 10. And G, in lieu of marriage, if there are no acceptable men in your town, it is required that you get your father drunk and have sex with him, even if he had previously offered you up as a sex toy to men young and old. Tag-teaming with any sisters you may have. Of course, this rule applies only if you are female, as explained in Genesis 19, verses 31 through 36. Now, I'll post this. Don't write to me and ask me, hey, Mike, what are... I'll post this on my website, mikemolloy.com, where it says... what is it? We're right on the front page. Yeah, that, you know, this is a joke. Obviously, it's a joke. But this is what drives me to hair-pulling distraction, my own hair. If these literalists, if these people who believe in the inerrant Bible, something written by drunks, thugs, murderers, and psychopaths over the first and second century after the execution of Christ, if Christians really believe that this stuff is the inerrant word of God, well, then have at it. What's wrong with a man having 30 wives and 150 concubines? And if the woman isn't a virgin, kill her! That's what it says. And it goes on and on, of course. If you look in Deuteronomy, if you look in Numbers, if you look in, what's the other book of the Bible with all the rules in it, Kathy? If you look in some of these books in the Old Testament, you'll find all sorts of things that you're supposed to do. And if you don't do it according to the inerrancy, folks, then you're violating God's law. If you violate God's law, you're going to be cast into the pit of fire. Like, you know, if your children defy you, kill them. Kill your children. And some of you folks wonder why I cannot tolerate religion. Ah, but enough from me. Susan is calling from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I am not looking forward to you getting off the air.
Nor am I. You know, it's always better to have a job than to not have a job.
Right. Well, you know, you were saying maybe you had too much confidence about staying on. I think you need more confidence about staying on. Sounds like you're giving yourself a death sentence.
Well,
and counting down.
I hope not. It's just that I know this business. I've been in this business for the better part of 20 years now, and this is a very strange business. So
right, it is.
It's never based. Advancement is never based. It's been my experience. It's not based on how good I've
on
seen
merit.
I've seen all kinds of talented people who could not get a gig.
Right.
It's based on your how willing you are to adopt the Republican law. And so on and so forth. So who knows?
Well, what is happening to that station? Who's buying it, or how come they're selling it? I'd love to know a little bit about that.
IE America, the network work for, is owned by the United Auto Workers, the union, and they have decided to get out of the broadcast business. So
why? Have they been threatened?
I guess because it's not a money-making proposition for them. I really don't know.
Couldn't we all buy it somehow?
Well, you know, that's an idea. If they would have taken it public and sold shares, it might have hung around. But
I'll betcha.
But
I'll
that's
betcha.
Not the case. So anyway, UAW is getting out of the broadcast business. That means IE America is either being sold, which so far it has not been, or it's being folded, which is the way it looks.
Oh, well, why don't we get a movement going, get move on to do something? That would be great.
I think it's too late. It really is. Yeah, it's been for sale for 2 years.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah.
well, since I only found you last fall, I had no idea. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say a little bit about that Mel Gibson thing.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I don't like to watch his movies is because he's always in pain, you know?
You know, I've noticed that his face always looked like a man in some kind of pain. Now we understand why.
Yeah, he's got some kind of Christ complex going. You know, it kind of reminds me of maybe he's Silas. Did you read the Da Vinci Code?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, well, take a look at Silas.
Okay.
And pain is good. Pain is good.
But you know, I did like him in the role of William Wallace in Braveheart. That was one hell of a movie.
Oh, Braveheart was great, but still, there, you know, it's like he's always getting massacred somehow.
And Braveheart, they eviscerate him at the end. So,
So it's that same thing, and it's just like something that carries through and carries through. You know. Anyway, so just to let you know, I'm still listening, and we're still going for Kucinich here. We still have our campaign going. We haven't given up.
Don't. No,
we won't. If he decides to end it, then we end it. But right now, I don't think there's any point. Anything could change anyway, you know.
You know, when he walked into the studio the other night here.
Oh, you met him finally?
Yeah, he came. You didn't hear him?
Well, I heard it later.
Because
I haven't.
Well, you can hear it. You can hear it if you go to WhiteRoseSociety.org.
I think
it was Wednesday. Was it Wednesday night, Kathy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday night.
I think
night.
I heard the bite, but I did not know he came into the studio.
Yeah, he was in Atlanta. He had he had three appearances in Atlanta, one of which was a block and a half away from the studio. So Kathy got a hold of his people and just said, look, just walk a block and a half from Eddie's Attic, that's the name of the club where he was, and come on by. So he did.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you what I was going to say. He was only here for about 40 minutes, but During one of the breaks, I looked at him and said, you know, I have to ask you, off the record, off the air, you're not going to back out, are you? Now, this was on the day when Kerry had won Tennessee and Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you're not going to back out, are you? And he looked at me and he said,
absolutely not. Yeah, I know that. But how did you like him in person? You had never met him before, right?
No, I had not. I'll tell you, I don't know if it's just me. I don't have heroes. I don't get involved in hero worship. I don't know if it's just me, but he does emanate something that is very, very...
special.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of light. That guy has a lot of light.
He does indeed.
Beautiful vision. A great heart, you know. Every time I see him or hear him, I like him more and more and more. And I'm sort of hoping he'd grow on the rest of America. And actually, you know, he actually did, I think, 16% in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So the campaign is not dying. If anything, it's growing.
Let's hope. Hey, thanks, yes. Susan.
Okay, God bless you, Mike, and Kathy.
You have a nice evening.
Oh, you too.
All right, take care.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
Best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak.
and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love?
I wish I knew the law that I could sign that would make people love one another.
I'm sorry, every time I hear Grace Slick, I can't get past White Rabbit. I really can't. It is Valentine's Day. That's why Kathy's playing all the love music. Simon emailed in this. He quotes Lynn Lavner, a lesbian comic. The Bible contains 6 admonishments to homosexuals and 362 to heterosexuals. This doesn't mean God doesn't love heterosexuals. It just means that they need more supervision. You're supposed to laugh, Kathy. Thank you. And Simon points out that a lot of the law, I couldn't think of the book of the Bible, is found in Leviticus. Don is calling from Bay City, Michigan. Hey, famous for the Bay City Rollers. How you doing, Don?
Pretty good. How are you, Mike?
No, wait. That was San Francisco. Never mind.
Don't email me.
Hello?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Pretty good, Mike. How you doing? I wanted to apply for your station chief here in Bay City.
A bureau chief?
Yeah, bureau chief.
Well, you got it, pal.
So,
are you familiar with the Bay City Manifesto?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about the Bay City Rollers?
Yeah, they were big back in the 70s when I got back.
Yeah, they were. Well, Don, congratulations on your ascension to Bay City Bureau Chief. In other words, you'll be the BCBC.
So how are you doing, Mike? I'm sorry to hear you're going to be out of a job, is what the last caller said.
Yeah, we have 10 programs left after tomorrow, after tonight. 5 next week, and then 5 the week after, and then this network is shutting down.
Oh, you got any chance of going on the liberal network?
Well, I don't know. I know several of the people who are putting that network together. I haven't gotten the call yet, though, so we shall see. I may be too scary for them. They may want liberals that are more easily controllable. I don't know.
I wanted to be the truth seeker here in the area, and now I'm out of a job already.
Yeah, you are?
Well, no, now that you're folding up.
Oh, I see. You're saying your bureau chief job will have no meaning whatsoever.
Yeah, I'll just have to keep listening to the AM Hate Radio.
Well, stay in touch with us through MikeMalloy.com, my website. We will let folks know. We'll wind up someplace, I think. I hope. Hell, it may not be in this country. We will try to stay. I don't know how to do too many other things. Kathy has all sorts of training. She can go be a nurse. She could be a school teacher. Of course, here in Georgia, the only thing you need to be a school teacher is a fifth-grade education.
And a pulse.
And a pulse. But, no, I shouldn't say that. We have friends who are school teachers. Well, okay, it is almost true. All right. But I don't have any special training. I'm good at 2 things, talk radio and telemarketing.
Hey, can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, can you give me the take on the all of a sudden John Kerry has a intern deal? Is that to cover up W's military obligations?
Well, I think the psychopathic right wingers in this country, led by the pig man, the pig boy, and Drudge, tried to give that story some legs, and it didn't work. Everybody denies it. Media is not paying any attention to it. So, you know, it was just like a fart on the wind. It was there for a moment. You could smell it, and it's gone. Hey, hold on a second, Don. We have to take a break here, and we'll be right back and finish up.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Everyone has a fundamental right to clean air, clean water, and other natural assets, according to a new book by that name. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Nature belongs to everyone and should be managed for the benefit of all people. That's the core argument in Natural Assets, a new book edited by James Boyce and Barry Shelley. Boyce says environmental protection should directly address the needs of people living in poor and polluted communities.
What we try to put forward in our book, Natural Assets, is a very different view in which the relationship between humans and nature can be positive as well as negative, where people can do good things for the environment as well as bad things for the environment, and where everybody has an equal right to a clean and safe environment founded on a kind of democratic principle of ownership of our common resources, clean air, clean water, land, and right to a livelihood.
Boyce favors more ecological restoration, cleaning up pollution, replenishing fisheries and forests, and he advocates an idea called coevolution, where humans manage nature for the benefit of both.
When humans are investing in natural assets, either through ecological restoration, you know, cleanup, reforestation, etc., or through coevolution, by making nature richer and more diverse, all of that creates jobs, it creates wealth, it creates livelihoods. And so we don't see there as being any inherent contradiction or opposition between measures to protect the environment and measures to improve people's economic well-being. On the contrary, we see those two going hand in hand.
That's James Boyce, co-editor of Natural Assets. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Happy Valentine's Day, if you're just joining us. Thus the music that Kathy is playing. What? I didn't hear what you said, Kathy.
Is everybody finished with their turkey and pumpkin pie?
I said Happy Valentine's Day. Just because I said Happy Thanksgiving a couple of times. Boy, they just never let you forget, do they? Huh? Especially when they're pregnant. Don, our Bay City, Michigan bureau chief, was on hold here. All right, Don, where were we?
Oh, we were talking about you replied to the Kerry little situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, now one more. I never got to hear your official statement on Rush Limbaugh's heroin hillbilly addiction.
Hillbilly heroin. Well, we talked about it an awful lot. You must have been out of the country on one of your secret missions, because I know you work for the CIA, Don.
Yes, I drive a truck for the CIA, driving through Toledo, Ohio.
That's
all the
all right.
time.
I know what you do. But anyway, we talked about it several times. I do not believe, generally speaking, that people who become addicts should go to prison unless, in the process of feeding their addiction, they kill people or commit armed robberies or rapes or whatever. But I would make an exception in Limbaugh's case, because Limbaugh is such a hypocrite. He has verbally condemned all drug users, whether they're addicts or not, to prison or worse. So I think the useless, worthless son of a bitch ought to suffer exactly what he suggested other people go through. But having said that, my feelings about drug usage, it's just like anything else. I think people need to be educated on drugs. This country is obviously one of the most hypocritical countries on the planet. The two drugs that kill hundreds of thousands of people every year are legal. That would be alcohol and tobacco. Tobacco is not a drug, but the nicotine in it that addicts us is a drug. So the two drugs that kill hundreds of thousands of people a year, wipe out families, destroy people, cause bankruptcies, car accidents. I believe the latest figure is of the 40 or 50,000 people a year who die on our highways, 30,000 of them die because of alcohol-related crashes. Those drugs are legal. But if somebody wants to carry around with them an ounce or half an ounce or a pound of marijuana, that person will go to jail in a lot of jurisdictions. Some places, if you just have a bag of reefer with you, you'll get a fine. But if somebody wants to carry a little bag of powdered coke or a couple of rocks of crack whatever it is, they are subject to insane penalties. And yet, the alcohol and tobacco industry in this country that poisons and destroys and kills and pollutes and contributes heavily to the Republican Party, those industries are allowed to flourish. So the hypocrisy here borders on insanity. It's an outrage. When you think of all the good people who are sitting in prison tonight as we're sitting here talking, Don, in Michigan, in Ohio, in Georgia, people who are in prison because they had 10 pounds of marijuana in their house that they were going to sell to their friends or what have you. It's just an outrage. It's an absolute outrage. So as far as Limbaugh is concerned, I think the ugly bastard ought to go to prison. And when he gets out, he ought to do community service. And when he's finished with that, he should be forced to apologize to the American public for his base hypocrisy.
Okay, one more little thought, Mike.
Sure.
A few years ago, when you were on a Midwest radio station.
WLS in Chicago, yeah.
Okay, how do you feel about J. Marvin all of a sudden swallowing and becoming a Don Wade sound-alike?
J. Marvin was forced to do for Zamira Jones, the manager of WLS, what Monica Lewinsky did for Bill Clinton. And when J. Marvin came back from Denver, I was still there, and I'd heard all kinds of stories about J. Marvin, this real radical, great, fun, huge man, great big old fat man, just a giant. that he was just an absolute hellraiser and radical left, way to the left, not just some liberal like me, but absolute way to the left kind of guy. And I couldn't wait to meet him. And what shows up is this guy who turns out to be a no-talent fart who the first thing he does is sell his soul to get back on the air. So I never knew J. Marvin when he was what everybody loved him for. I just knew him when he became a total turncoat, like so many liberals. He sucked up to the right-wing line and did a complete about-face. So quick answer, I put J. Marvin in the same category as I put Bill O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. He's a punk. He's an apologist for the right wing in this country. He's a neo-Nazi, and someday he, along with the rest of these people, will burn in media hell someplace, I guess. All right?
I'm glad to see you kept the faith, Mike.
All right, Don. Thanks.
One more thing, Mike.
Okay.
I'd like to say a special thanks to our governor, Jennifer Granholm.
Yeah.
Because she has stood up to the Republicans and just spit in their face, and they don't like it.
Yes, she has. Bless her.
Thank you, Mike, and have a good life.
Thank you, Don. You too. You too. Yeah, Kathy and I have often sat around and talked about how it would have been so easy from a financial standpoint to sell out because we make one hell of a good team in radio. When Kucinich and four of his people came in here the other night, they looked at this little rat's ass studio and just were dumbfounded. They said, "This is where you produce that show?" We said, "Yeah." I mean, you know, the equipment we have in here is stuff you can buy, literally. You can buy this, well, you get it out of catalogs, but you can buy it at Radio Shack. Now, not the equipment that's in our broadcast center in Detroit, but I'm talking about producing the show here. So Kucinich and his people, they looked at this little crappy one-room studio we have and just went, whoa. So Kathy and I produce one hell of a show, and there's no question about that. I don't say that from an arrogant point of view. Just listen. Listen on the air. Listen to what you hear around the country. But because we do what we do, and the point of view that I take is considered to be not politically correct in the age of Bush, and because media in this country, radio, is owned, 90% of radio is owned by four companies, and every one of those companies are either right-wing, or if they're not right-wing, terrified to do anything other than right-wing or neoconservative, neo-fascist talk radio, we're kind of screwed. So that's why I hedged the bet a bit. When the UAW hired me 3.5 years ago, they had a different president, a man named Steve Jokic, who since retired and then died of a heart attack. They were maybe a year or two into IE America Radio Network, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And they gave me an awful lot of freedom for the 3+ years I've been on this network, more freedom than I ever would have gotten at a radio station. Now, that's not to say I haven't had to fight for that freedom. IE America and UAW and I have gotten into some real hair-pulling, screaming fights over the 3.5 years. But that, you know, that's true with any relationship, except mine and Kathy's. We don't do that. But bottom line, IE America and the UAW gave me an awful lot of freedom to do this program however I wanted to do it. And that is rare in the broadcast business. That is rare. It's also a two-edged sword because in giving me that freedom, obviously I took it. And that made it extremely difficult to put this program into markets around the country. You know, you go to St. Louis with this program and say, look, we've got this guy, Mike Malloy, and people, you know, come into the website and listen for one night, and they go, oh, Jesus, no, we can't put him on. Right? Now, if you're a regular listener, that won't make any sense to you, because you know what we do on this program. We kick George Bush and his Nazi administration's ass. We do it on a regular basis. Occasionally, I'll say a word like son of a bitch. You know, it's a tough program. But these are tough times. We are not going to produce a program like Alan Colmes or even my good friend Tom Hartman or even my better friend Peter Werbe. You know, when Werbe was on this network, we used to joke, he and I. We used to talk a lot. We still do. We used to play the good cop, bad cop thing. Peter was much more laid back, much more zen than I. He had a great program. But my approach was entirely different. It was much easier to sell Peter's program into different markets or Tom Hartman's program into different markets. My program scared the living Christ out of these program managers and general managers and program directors. They didn't know what to do with it. And the fact is, anytime I've been on the air, I've always accumulated a huge audience because the program is unique. There is no liberal who does even near what I do. What Kathy and I do now, I mean, I've always, you know, Kathy's been on this gig for 3 years. And when I say we, I'm not using the imperial we or the royal we or the editorial we. I mean Kathy and me together. I would not work anyplace else in radio without her her hand in the production of the program because she turned out to be so damn good at it. And, you know, when you're married to somebody, when you live with somebody, you understand how they think. I could never get across to a producer the kind of stuff that Kathy just knows because we live together and are married, and so she knows how to produce this program in a way that suits me just fine. So when I talk about we, I'm referring to her and me. So anyway, whether or not we wind up in another venue, another station or network or syndication or whatever, I don't know. I have no idea. To this moment, we have not been approached. I've made a little effort to pick up another gig, but no response so far. So I don't know. We may Kathy may go back to nursing. I may go back to telemarketing. You never know. You never know. But I believe, without being arrogant, because one thing we are not is arrogant, we have done a kick-ass show for this network. It's been sometimes too kick-ass. It really has. It's made it extremely difficult for the marketing people to get out and sell it. On the other hand, maybe there should have been more aggressive marketing people. Who knows? But they gave us a lot of freedom, i.e. America Radio Network did. We took it, we ran with it, and we put together what I honestly think, is the best liberal talk show in America. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I mean, I'll take responsibility for my screw-ups, but I also will take responsibility for what I consider to be successes. And this is one of them. This has been a wildly successful program. And there's nobody in liberal talk that comes close to what we do. I'm not saying they're not good talk show hosts out there from the liberal persuasion, but nobody does what we do, and nobody ever will. How's that? Jenny is calling from Rhode Island, our bureau chief there. Is this Jenny Bean?
Yes, it is.
I have to tell the audience that piece of art that you sent me, it was just gorgeous. Jenny Bean, the mad woman in the attic.
Yes, that's me.
The mad artist in the attic.
Well, the mad woman is the name of my business.
Is that what it is? It was a wonderful gift, and I've only cut myself on it 3 times so far.
That's not true.
You have to be careful with that. That thing is so... I
sanded it down.
Well, we put it in a very visible part of our den, and it sits there, and it's gorgeous. Gorgeous, and I'm going to put entries in it.
Okay.
I really will.
Okay. And now everyone's like, huh?
Well, what's your website so people will go to your website?
Well, it is madwomaninatheattic.com, but it's not really up yet. So.
Madwomaninatheattic.com.
And all it has is my little logo and says coming soon.
Okay,
so.
Well, get it up there because the audience should know. You do this piece of art you sent me is fabulous. It is absolutely fabulous. So I hope you get the website up, and I hope you sell.
Well, my other website is up. It's www.picturetrail.com, and then it's /Jenny Bean.
Picture.
Trail, like on the trail, trail.com.
Okay. Picturetrail.com/Jenny Bean. Jenny Bean. Okay.
Yeah,
everybody go to that. Check out her work. You do good work. Now,
well, it's got my house pictures and pictures of my dog in there, too. So everyone's going to get to see, like, my whole life now.
All right. Now, that's not why you really called.
No, actually, I called to make fun of George Bush. But now I have two other things I have to say. If you call me as a telemarketer, I think I'm going to go insane.
No, I won't. I use a different name anyway.
Oh, okay, that's good. Because I was, well, but I still think I'd recognize your voice.
Well, I haven't done it for about 10 years, but no.
I wouldn't be sure if I'd want to talk
years.
To you or ask you to take me off your list.
Well, I'll try not to call folks who have listened to this program. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't watch TV.
Right.
Mel Gibson is playing Christ.
No. He's the producer and director. This movie's been in production for about 2 years.
Okay, but he's not actually.
No, he's not in it.
Okay.
Hey, hold on, Jenny. We got to take a break here. I'll come back right after this break. No, Mel Gibson is not in. The Passion of the Christ. He is just the director, producer, and he helped fund it.
I'm a liberal. I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to be strong. I attend all the Pete Seeger concerts. He sure gets me singing those songs. And I'll send all the money you ask for. But don't ask me to come on along. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words. Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
This one goes out to the one I've left behind.
And we must love a neighbor just like we'd like to love themselves.
Simple prop to occupy my time. This one goes out to the one I love.
About five before the hour, we are talking to Jenny Bean. Now, where were we?
I keep wanting to talk like Smeagol. We hate this him, but I can't just be. I can't just be impressive. But every once in a while, I find myself saying that.
And we hate this him.
We hate this him. Right. We hate them all.
Maybe Smeagol will call in again sometime. I love Smeagol.
That would make my night. I have to say.
Me too.
But I was reading today that Bush is going to the Daytona 500.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And but the thing that gets me most about it is that he's trying to coin the phrase NASCAR dads.
Uh-huh.
Did you read that?
No.
Like instead of soccer moms, they're setting up a whole voter registration thing.
Oh, yeah,
for
that's right.
NASCAR dads.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of all the people I know who aren't big NASCAR fans, big NASCAR men, you know, not just, but that's the stereotype
right.
that they're getting at, you know?
Right.
And I called them the NASCAR dads.
But they also hate Bush?
What? Well, no.
Yeah.
No, most of the people in my family are right-wingers, remember?
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, but if I were calling them NASCAR dads as opposed to, like, the soccer moms, I mean, that would be it. It'd be like, what do you mean NASCAR dads, you know?
I have a brother-in-law who really appreciates NASCAR. I've mentioned before he's a former naval officer, but he's come, and he was a Republican. But my sister, who's married to him, tells me now that he just absolutely hates Bush. So he would be a NASCAR dad who hates Bush.
But would he really want to be called a NASCAR dad?
I don't think so.
That's what I'm thinking. They're trying to, like, fit them into, like, this family stereotype. Just like NASCAR is, like, trying to make it a whole family.
You know, the next group are going to be Hummer husbands. You know what the Hummers are, those Humvees.
And I've seen a lot of them lately.
Aren't those an abomination? Don't you want to put a hand grenade under the right bumper or something?
Well, in the back of my car, I have, like, this big, it's a rock, actually.
Yeah.
It's in the back of my car from when I go to craft shows. I always keep this in the back, so in case I need it to, like, keep the tarp down for the wind or anything, and it's too heavy for me to be moving around. So in my trunk, I have a rock, and every time I see one, I just said to my husband, and we saw one today, it's like, I just want to take the rock out and throw it at them.
Jenny, here comes the news. Do you want to hold on?
I'll let you go because it's actually getting late for me. I'm tired. I don't listen to your last hour usually.
Okay, thanks, Jenny. I appreciate it, dear heart. Maybe we'll hear from you again. Take care.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A majority of Americans believe George W. Bush either lied or deliberately exaggerated evidence that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in order to justify war, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. The survey results, which show declining support for the war in Iraq and for Bush's leadership in general, indicate the public is increasingly questioning Bush's truthfulness, a concern for Bush's political advisors as his re-election bid gets underway. Barely half, 52%, now believe Bush is honest and trustworthy, down 7 percentage points since late October and his worst showing since the question was first asked in March of 1999. 54% thought Bush exaggerated or lied about pre-war intelligence. In a blow to the Bush administration, the Senate Intelligence Committee said Thursday that it planned to investigate whether White House officials exaggerated the Iraq threat or pressured analysts to tailor their assessments of Baghdad's weapons programs to bolster the case for war. The move puts claims made by George W. Bush and other senior officials in his administration squarely in the sights of the committee's investigation and could add to the White House's political troubles as it tries to keep questions about the war from becoming a drag on Bush's re-election campaign. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said Thursday Congress should reinstate budget rules that would force lawmakers to cover the estimated $1 trillion that it will cost to make George W. Bush's tax cuts permanent. Greenspan said he favored reductions in government spending to pay for making the tax cuts permanent and suggested that one place to look should be in reducing the Social Security benefits paid to retirees. Appearing before the Senate Banking Committee, Greenspan said he has been urging since the fall of 2002 that budget rules known as PAYGO, which require any tax cuts or increases in government entitlement spending be paid for by either raising taxes in other areas or cutting government spending, be reinstated. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Relatives of a kidnapped victim in Taiwan struck a passing motorcyclist with more than $600,000 in cash when they tossed the ransom money to the kidnappers from a highway overpass. The $600,000 ransom, packed into two nylon bags, landed on 57-year-old Liu Fang Nan when he rode under the overpass just as a relative of the victim delivered the money, according to kidnappers' instructions. Liu, who later sought medical attention for swelling and bruising of his left leg, said he rode off not realizing he had been toppled off his motorcycle by a small fortune.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
My job is to secure the homeland, proclaimed George W. as he announced major budget increases for homeland surveillance, and that's exactly what we're going to do. To make all of us feel secure, he has hiked the FBI's budget above $5 billion a year, a 60% increase since Bush took office. Good. Now maybe the agency will have the resources to redouble its keen-eyed effort to protect us homelanders from the obvious danger posed by people who carry almanacs. The almanac threat first came to public notice last Christmas Eve when the FBI's intelligence bulletin went out to 18,000 police organizations urging America's vast law enforcement network to be on alert during traffic stops and other investigations for anyone carrying almanacs. Yes, like the World Almanac or the always suspicious Old Farmer's Almanac. The agency bulletin noted that these deviously deceptive documents are replete with such details as weather trends, profiles of cities, and lists of tall buildings. The FBI's language was blunt, if not exactly sparkling. The practice of researching potential targets is consistent with known methods of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations that seek to maximize the likelihood of operational success through careful planning. Good grief. As a World Almanac editor pointed out about the September 11th terrorists, they certainly didn't need the almanac to locate the Twin Towers. With Bush's budget hike, maybe the agency can focus attention on people who use phone books and dictionaries, too. Who knows what kind of subversive stuff such people might be looking up? One can only imagine what the FBI would have done to Benjamin Franklin, the publisher of Poor Richard's, America's first almanac. But then, he was a subversive. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, George, your job is not just to secure the homeland, but to secure our Bill of Rights as well, and to stop agencies from so grossly wasting our tax dollars.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Here's what I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour on, I keep calling it Thanksgiving. It's Valentine's Day. I don't know whether to grab a chocolate here or some giblet gravy. And again, if you're just joining us, if you want to have some fun, Sailor, tomorrow, or no, yeah, tomorrow or Sunday? Yeah, tomorrow.
Valentine's.
On Valentine's Day. I'll be on Fox News Channel at 8:30 Eastern Time and then again 8:50 Eastern Time. The program is Heartland with John Kasich that is on 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know how long we'll talk. I just know that they have some right-wing freak who will also be on, somebody named Hugh Hewitt. Well, John Kasich is a right-wing freak, too, so... Once again, into the lion's den. We'll see what happens. This is the second time on Fox. And I don't know why I do it. Oh, that's right. In case somebody sees my worthless ass and says, hey, let's hire him. This is called taking a job opportunity. We have some sound coming up here, but I'll get to it in a second. Rob here has been holding on from Washington, D.C. for over an hour. Thanks, Rob.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
Welcome to the program.
Hey, very good. Yeah, and by the way, everybody needs to get on over to White Rose Society and sign that petition for Anshel Media.
Yeah, it's there, and it's at petitiononline.org or .com or something. One of the listeners put that up. I say one of the listeners, and I'm embarrassed because I've forgotten who did, but it's been out there for a while, and I don't know that it makes any difference, but it might. So if people want to sign that petition, that's great.
That looks good on your resume.
There you go.
Anyway, I wanted to call you about what I thought was a mildly shocking story in yesterday's Washington Post. It had to do with basically four bail bondsmen, bounty hunters, that were preying on immigrants.
I missed that one.
And basically it was a situation that is not all that unusual insofar as the fact that immigrants have always been subject to a lot of crime, a lot more crime than your average citizen, not just because they don't know their rights and they don't speak the language, but
they're afraid to go to the police.
Yeah, they're afraid to go to the police,
sure.
And there seems to be no lack of people that will take advantage of them any way they can. But, you know, this took place in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is, you know, the wealthiest county in the state. Maryland has a much higher than average tax base, much better services. You know, there are plenty of places in this country where the police won't do anything about it. But these guys were basically, you know, going around middle-class neighborhoods and breaking down the doors with shotguns and you know, taking whatever they could from these people. And, you know, not in broad daylight per se, but the fact that this kind of thing is happening in these kinds of neighborhoods is just another indication of the environment and how much worse things are getting in Bush's America.
It is. There are so many examples of that, and that's one of the most egregious. I don't know what to say except he has to be taken out of office. He has to be.
It's astounding how so many people have no idea how difficult life is for these people, and you know, as bad as you've got it, they've got it a lot worse.
Sure,
in most instances.
Sure. That story, the one story that I was aware of recently, there's always a horror story about immigrants or illegal immigrants, but the one from the UK, the cockle fishermen who were, how many, Kathy? 15 of them were drowned in this bay off the northwestern coast of England. That has incredibly fast rising tides, and the people from that area who understand these tides fish for the cockles, which apparently they're like clams. And but there were 18 or 19 Chinese people who had been taken out there by the so-called snakeheads. As you know, those are the people who smuggle them into a country and put them in what is slavery. They may make $3 a day, but it might have taken $25,000 to have gotten, or euros, to have gotten to the UK. So it takes them a lifetime to pay it off. But there were 15 or 16 of them who were swept up in these tides earlier this week and drowned because nobody told them and that they were working in an area that was extremely dangerous. So this goes on and on and on. Maryland, England, southwestern United States. It's awful. It's just awful what happens to immigrants who are doing nothing more than trying to find a means and a way to support their families.
It's one of the things that really, for me, defines what it means to be a liberal versus a conservative, because it doesn't matter. It's, you know, we're talking well over 100 years, whether you're talking about slaves in the traditional sense or all of the neo-slaves that have existed since then. The only people who have ever made any real effort to free those slaves have been the people who have been part of the liberal movement
That's right.
in this country.
That's right. Liberal.
And in spite of all of the talk about that you get from the other side, the fact is that they perpetuate the systems that we have, and know full well mm-hmm. that you know where most of the immigrants in this country are working,
right.
and you know continue, like I say, to perpetuate systems where they are essentially living in slavery and in misery, and we all bear the blame for that.
That's very true. That's very true.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, Rob. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Patrick is calling from Germany.
Hello.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, America's sweetheart. How you doing?
Kathy did that, not me. What, what part of Germany?
Just outside of Heidelberg.
And you were there because?
I'm a translator. I just moved back here. I had called a couple of weeks ago, with like towards the end of the show, and I cut off then.
Oh, well, I'm welcome.
But I basically live here now.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, I typically sleep between 3 and 6 in the morning, which is the time that your show airs here on the web. But that sort of keeps me from calling in, but I haven't missed a single show for nearly a year now.
Good Lord, it must be, what, about 5:15 in the morning there?
That's correct. And I tell you, you need to get a new gig real quick. It's so true what you said. You're unique, and it's hard enough for me to make it across the weekend without your show. So
well, that's
got to hurry up on that. And I will miss the way, I'll have to say this, the other programs on IE America usually tie in so well with your program.
Uh-huh.
The other night on Earthwatch, they were talking about sea squirts.
I heard,
are human-induced stress on the environment. And then you came back on and kept on talking about Bush. I mean,
yeah.
It goes together well.
It does.
Sea squirt president.
Sea squirt president. Yeah, I love that Earthwatch program that we have on this network. I also really like Jim Hightower's commentaries. Those are excellent. For what they are, they're very short form, but those programs are great.
Okay. Anyway, I got too much to say than I can do tonight, but I will call back as long as I can. I do want to talk about the man that will bring down the Bush administration.
That would be
Scott McClellan.
Scott McClellan. You think he's going to bring it down?
He is. He's well on its way. I think it's gotten to the point where these reporters, despite their best efforts, can no longer force themselves to believe that their professional pride and intelligence is not being insulted
mm-hmm.
with all this stuttering, evasive babbling, these repetitive, nonsensical non sequiturs.
Oh, I know. It's awful. So you think that's going to make them go even harder to expose the Bush crime family?
I think it's happening right now. Because, just listening to him the last two nights, just evading all those questions, just repeating over and over again the same line that he served proudly and all that. You know what they call it when jazz singers make these nonsense sounds imitating instruments?
Yeah, scat singing.
Scat.
Scat.
Scat McClellan.
Scat McClellan.
That's his name. Of course, scat has another meaning as well.
Yeah, it does indeed.
Which fits even better.
And since this is a family show, we dare not say what it is.
I'm not saying that. But they fill his head with it, and he spews his that receptacle, and he spews it out of his mouth, and it's Scat McClellan.
It is amazing. Every time Kathy puts those sound bites together, I don't hear them before the program, but she gives me a sheet of paper that has the script, what that person is going to say, whether it's McClellan or Rumsfeld or Bush, and she'll hand me a stack of these, and I'll look at them right before we go on the air, and that's the first time I see them. So I'm hearing them for the first time, the same time the audience. Oh, it blows me away. Absolutely blows me away.
And you know, when they sit there, they have to force themselves to believe that they're not being made fun of. And I think it's breaking down.
I think you're right.
And, you know, talking about the script, you need to go back and look at it. I think it was two nights ago. It's on the 11th of February.
Yeah.
He had a Freudian slip.
I did?
No, he did.
He did?
Yeah, during the press conference. Not a nipple slip, a Freudian slip.
What did he do?
He actually said, and I heard this on Democracy Now. I have the recording here. It's 22 minutes into the show. that he was dishonorably discharged from the National Guard.
He said that?
He said that. You need to go back and check through that. I can play it, but you'll probably not hear it if I play it over the phone.
Probably not. Scott said that.
Scott said that. If you want to find a quick and easy way to get to it, yeah, on Amy Goodman's show.
Yeah, Democracy.
Was 2 nights ago on the 11th, 22 minutes into the show is where they have the soundbite, and he actually has that slip.
We'll check it out.
He's fulfilled his duties, and that is the reason he was dishonorably discharged from the National Guard.
Oh, don't you hate these people? Don't you?
You know, you didn't say it that other night.
I know. I think I had
you one. Did not say it.
I had one night.
I have
go
this
by.
Ritual here. I pour me a glass of wine. I have a little cigarillo next to the computer, and I wait for you to say it. And the show was over, and the glass was untouched. You know, I'm really addicted. So
have I mentioned tonight yet how much I hate these people? So Patrick, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, take care.
Have
a nice day. Have a nice morning.
All right.
All right, take care. Patrick from Germany. Well, that impresses me. That just impresses me.
And good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Find a child who needs somebody older in their life to say, I love you.
That's what Michael Jackson tried to do, didn't he? 24 past the hour. Okay, I want to do the sound bites, but Bill here, our Lexington, Kentucky bureau chief, has been holding on forever.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Good luck to you, whatever you do.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I sent you a couple of links tonight. Hope you read them.
I will do it.
And one of them's on disability rights and liberals.
Uh-huh.
And one of them's on evangelism. I got that from Newtopia magazine, which is a good website, by the way. But anyway, yeah, you're right. These are thugs.
Oh.
But please don't use that word tomorrow night on Cusick's show. He may throw you off the air.
No, I do have a theory, or not a theory, but I do have respect for somebody else's program.
Yeah, well, that's good.
You know, when I go into somebody else's house, I'm going to use the bathroom. I'm not going to pee on the rug.
Good.
So John Kasich has nothing to worry about from me. That's for sure.
That's what his name is. Right. Oh, whatever his name is.
Right.
Anyway. Don't let him push you around.
Yeah, won't do it.
That's true. But anyway, I just wanted to touch base with you.
All right.
Everything's going pretty good here.
Oh, good.
Our apartment situation is getting resolved, thank God.
Oh, that was an awful situation.
It's still an awful situation. My wife and I are both disabled, and they're trying to throw us out of here.
Right.
It's just stupid. But anyway, we got everything. We got all the bases covered.
Good.
We're going to try to buy a house, so. Get out of this place anyway.
There you go, Bill.
But anyway, I've been listening to you and haven't called but until now. But I will call again before your last day.
Thank you. I'd look forward to it.
And keep sending you the emails and the links. But anyway, you have done a great service for people like me and people that think along the liberal lines, and I hope you and Kathy have a healthy baby.
Well, thank you.
And I will try to get home in time to watch you on the Fox News.
Well, don't expect too much. Remember when I've done these gigs on CNN and MSNBC, you know, you might ask you two questions.
Yeah.
And that's it. So you know, don't.
And they shuffle you under the rug.
Don't break a leg.
No, I'm not going to break a leg.
If you're home, great. If not.
Yeah, I have to work till 8 o'clock. But anyway.
Yeah, I think they replay that show later on.
They replay it I think at 11.
How's that
somewhere
sound?
Around there. But anyway, I'll let you get to your sound bites, and I will call again before your gig's up. But
I think
you'll find something else.
I sure hope so. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. You know, when people say, you know, things like your show has been real important and we appreciate what you've done, and, you know, that works just the other way, too. I've said this before. This program would not have, first of all, I don't think it would have taken off the way it did, certainly not on the Internet, had it not been for Democratic Underground, which was one of the first big internet sites that tuned into this program, and well, BarkCop too. But I think DU is more interactive, you know, than BarkCop. I love BarkCop like a brother. But it was Democratic Underground with their thousands upon thousands of cohorts. But anybody who's ever listened to this program in the 3 years and 4 months we've been on the air, it has been that kind of cycle, of circle, that has sustained this end, that's for sure.
Think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Everyone has a fundamental right to clean air, clean water, and other natural assets, according to a new book by that name. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Nature belongs to everyone and should be managed for the benefit of all people. That's the core argument in Natural Assets, a new book edited by James Boyce and Barry Shelley. Boyce says environmental protection should directly address the needs of people living in poor and polluted communities.
What we try to put forward in our book, Natural Assets, is a very different view in which the relationship between humans and nature can be positive as well as negative, where people can do good things for the environment as well as bad things for the environment, and where everybody has an equal right to a clean and safe environment founded on a kind of democratic principle of ownership of our common resources, clean air, clean water, land, and right to a livelihood.
Boyce favors more ecological restoration, cleaning up pollution, replenishing fisheries and forests, and he advocates an idea called coevolution, where humans manage nature for the benefit of both.
When humans are investing in natural assets, either through ecological restoration, you know, cleanup, reforestation, etc., or through coevolution, by making nature richer and more diverse, all of that creates jobs, it creates wealth, it creates livelihoods. And so we don't see there as being any inherent contradiction or opposition between measures to protect the environment and measures to improve people's economic well-being. On the contrary, we see those two going hand in hand.
That's James Boyce, co-editor of Natural Assets. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ooh, baby love, my baby love, I need
people who walk across the street to a neighbor and say, I'd like to just love you for a second.
That's a good way to get shot. I'd just like to love you for a second. Hey, come here. Is your husband at home? No? How about your wife? Okay. I'd just like to love you for a while. I'm your neighbor. Sorry, bastard. Play that. Can you play that again? Let me make sure I heard that right. Go ahead, play it again.
There are people who walk across the street to a neighbor and say, I'd like to just love you for a second.
Just for a second. Here, just let me touch you and stuff, you know. Just for a second. Let me bury my face in your armpit there. Yeah. Hey, God. All right, simple Scotty McClellan, who our listener in Germany, Patrick, is convinced is going to bring down the Bush crime family. I hope Patrick's right. We got a couple here from Scotty today at the briefing. Didn't have one yesterday. I had a press gaggle where, I don't know what they do. They don't have cameras and microphones. They just stand around and say, you're a jackass. You're another. So is your mama. So is your grandmammy. Your mother's so ugly. You know, I guess that's what a gaggle is. I have no idea. All right. We know now that Bush had agreed to release his entire military record. But at noon today, now they released something tonight, right before everybody went home, 400 pages of garbage. This is what you do. You release stuff on Friday night, knowing that people are not going to watch TV that much or read newspapers that much over the weekend. So something was released at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock this afternoon. But this was at noon. A reporter asked Scotty about Bush agreeing to release his entire military record. And then we get Scotty's response here. But the reporter said, Scott, have you been through the president's personnel file now? Have you seen the entire file? And have you released everything you're going to release?
I don't know the answer to that question at this point because there's a possibility. We have expected to receive additional documents from the National Guard. I think we just very recently received some additional documents, but I'm not sure if any of those documents are new. We're going to take a look at those. We'll take a look at those. And if there's new information relevant to the issue, then we will certainly provide you with that information.
Oh, God. That's not kind of calm. That's not his usual hyper psychopathic self. Yeah, he was. Okay, so the next reporter asked about Bush's plummeting poll numbers. We didn't go into that tonight, but Bush is really in an imaginary matchup. It may not be imaginary much longer between Kerry and Bush. Bush gets his ass kicked, and the loss of confidence in this guy is incredible. But anyway, reporter wants to know about this. Reporter says, Scott, the new ABC News Washington Post poll indicates that a growing number of Americans believe that the information about Iraq was exaggerated the time the president went to Iraq, and his ratings on the qualities of trust and honesty that were very high for the 2000 election have eroded. Why do you think, Scott, Americans are strongly convinced of either of those qualities now?
One, I think that, you know, again, I mean, we are focused on the priorities here, but the numbers that you're seeing, I think, are not out of line with the historical pattern. But make no mistake, I think that the American people know that this is a president who does what he says he's going to do. Yeah. This is a president who fights for what he believes in. And nowhere is it more important to do what you say you're going to do than in the foreign policy arena. Our word is credible because we do what we say we are going to do.
So let me get this straight. Since Bush decided to invade Iraq preemptively for no reason, slaughter 10,000 Iraqis, send to their deaths 540 Americans, that makes him credible and trustworthy? That's a good quality? Because this jackass ignores reason? He uses his religious fundamentalism when he makes a decision involving other people's lives? Well, I believe it, so don't show me any proof. What does Scotty say? The American people know that this is a president who does what he says he's going to do. Well, yeah, except his promises on seniors, on Medicare, on education, on the environment, on jobs, on veterans. Jesus Christ, these people just make me sick. Now, speaking of a person that makes me sick, here's too stupid to be president. He was this today? He was at a he was at Archbishop Carroll High School in Washington, D.C. Oh, is this another one of those deals where he likes to surround himself with cute little Negroes? Is it? Oh, yeah, okay. And he likes to rub their hair because if you rub a little black child's hair, that keeps the witches away. You know, that's good luck. Come here, bring me one of them old children. Come here over here. Come here. Sit up on President Bush's lap. Now, let me rub your head. Oh, those were high schoolers? Well, he'd probably still try to do it anyway, because, you know, when you have that mentality, just like Strom Thurmond, it doesn't make any difference. It can be a 3-year-old or a 103-year-old. Bring the boy over here. Come here, boy. Sir, I'm not a boy. I'm 72 years old. You're a boy to me? Come here. Let me rub your hair. Let's bring me good luck, boy. Damn. Yeah, Bush, have you noticed that anytime Bush is feeling kind of down, he surrounds himself with young people who happen to be African-American. It's an old slaveholder trick. It goes all the way back to the 17th, 18th, and 19th century, you know. Masses, cold masses got to consumption tonight. He do? Yeah, he do. So he asked for 4 or 5 of us to go up there and stand around and sing to him. Well, then we better get going, right? That's right. Sometimes it's rough being white. I you know, if you're a white person listening to this program, I hope I don't piss you off an awful lot. But this race thing gets to me the same way this defense of marriage crap or the attacks on gay people gets to me. It just makes me, it pushes me right over the top. Okay? Listen to our education president here and try not to hurl.
This school believes in the worth and value of every child, that every child can learn, and therefore the school is not afraid to raise expectations and set glorious heights and demand excellence.
Yes!
I was so pleased to hear that 98% of the senior class will be going on to higher education. Yeah. That is a... I would say that's what's called dashing false expectations.
because you know, this is a Negro school, and, you know, 90% going on to our... That's a dashing false expectations, because, you know, I would have thought that y'all would have just been going to trade school or something, you know. Jesus.
Still at Archbishop Carroll High School in D.C. today on his No Child Left Behind Act, which so far he hasn't funded at all, leaving all the children behind. What a joke. State after state, city after city is opting out of this. School system after school system, the entire by God state of Utah is out of it. But no. As far as too stupid to be president, none of that happened. Now, he sounds kind of manic here. He's back on the cocaine or something. And does this make any sense to you? Why is he only able to speak clearly when he's talking about death and destruction?
We passed an interesting piece of legislation a couple of years ago called the No Child Left Behind Act. I love the sound of that because that's what I believe society must strive for. No child should be left behind. It kind of says some children may be being left behind, doesn't it?
Doesn't
if the admonition is no child left behind, maybe some are. And I think they have been.
Doesn't it? Huh? Doesn't it? What's he saying? That kind of says some child or children may be being left behind, doesn't it? No Child Left Behind Act, George. Yeah. Sure. Still at Archbishop Carroll High School in Washington, D.C., apparently he needs to stay a little bit longer to absorb the good vibes from the Negro children. Now he's talking on the importance of AP programs. You know what AP programs are? You know, advanced placement. It's just bizarre to hear this useless C student who used white man's affirmative action to get his higher education talking about advanced placement. And again, doesn't he sound like he's on crystal meth or something here?
You know, one of the things we need to do in America is to spread AP programs. It's called advanced placement programs. Those are high quality, high expectation, high achievement programs. AP programs work. AP program is, you know, is part of a challenging curriculum. And once you pass the AP, there's very little you can't accomplish. By the way. It means that you've excelled.
Oh, is that what it means? Is that what it means? This stupid man who said, "Let me into Yale because my daddy went there. Let me into Harvard because Texas, University of Texas, wouldn't admit me. Let me in. Let me in." What? No, it's not affirmative action. What are you talking about? Last one. Finally, on the importance of spotlighting academic success, which will be a success all over D.C. or something. You tell me what he's saying.
Society must be willing to never accept mediocrity when it comes to the education of our children. You know, the president's got a pretty big microphone.
Oh, really?
I've got a chance to spotlight success.
Do you?
And by coming here today, I'm spotlighting success. This success that we want to be a success all over the District of Columbia.
Oh, you know, the president's got a pretty big microphone. Maybe you saw it when I landed on the deck of that aircraft carrier, huh? You remember that, Bubala? Eh? 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 What's he say? This society must be willing to never accept mediocrity when it comes to the education of our children. How about when it comes to the doofus sitting in the White House? Oh, never mind. You know, the president has a pretty big microphone. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. The president has, you know, my microphone is a lot bigger than Bill Clinton's was. 800-TALK-YES is the number. John is calling from Akron, Ohio. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good.
That's good. Hey, I wanted to tell you, I mean, just thanks. I mean, I've only been listening to your show since, it was early or late last year, though. I know you're almost out the door now.
Just about, pal.
Yeah. Hey, if you don't mind, I'll be your bureau chief for the next 10 days.
In Akron?
Yeah.
Let me check here. Kathy, do we have an Akron, Ohio bureau chief? We do not. Okay, John, you got it.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Hey, I'm calling from the home of LeBron James in Hummer Central, I guess if you want to say thanks be to his wonderful mother, Gloria, for buying him that Hummer. Just want to tell you, I like that term that Jenny came up with at the end of the last hour there about Hummer husbands.
your humble and obedient servant, moi. I came up with that, Hummer husband.
Oh, okay.
But
right.
I was talking with Jenny, not to take anything away from Jenny.
Oh, okay.
But I said it!
All right, I got you, Mike. Well, anyway, I thought, I swear, I must have seen this. I don't know if it was a picture online or something on DU or whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's a personalized license plate going around on at least one of these things.
Yeah.
It says 9MPG.
Oh, on
get
on
that, a, don't you?
On a Humvee?
Yeah.
Yeah,
9 miles per gallon. Mike, it's a status symbol.
Oh, I know. Don't you just want to roll a live grenade under one of those things and watch it go boomity boom?
Exactly.
God.
This is ridiculous. This is going to be one of those things. There's this wonderful. He's an excellent speaker, but he's a professor at the local university here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think back to some of his lectures where he talks about just some of the different things that are going on, and, you know, I can just see him 20 years from now talking about, yeah, you know, as Americans, they were just so, you know, this was an age of excess and Hummers were the ultimate vehicle that just guzzled gas, and people were proud of it just because we're Americans, and we rule the world.
You know, I think anyone who drives a Humvee is committing an act of treason and slapping the face of the rest of the people that live in this country.
Yeah.
I don't care how rich they are. I don't care what makes them think that they have a right to drive something that started out as a military vehicle.
Yeah, it's Well, I mean, as I said, Mike, it's the arrogance. It's like, I mean, there's just such a social disconnect, I think, where yeah. people think, oh, well, I'm supporting the troops. I'm supporting this country. I'm driving a Humvee. It's sort of like there's this sort of romanticized idea that, you know, yeah, I don't have to be over there fighting Iraqis for no reason whatsoever because the president lied. But
somebody else can be over there fighting and dying and killing people, so yeah. I can fill up my Humvee.
I can contribute in my own special way.
I just hate these people. I hate these people with a breadth and depth that astonishes me. I didn't realize I had such a capacity to hate. I always considered myself to have a great capacity to love. But you know what? 3.5 years of George Bush has turned me completely inside out. And this huge reservoir inside of me now that used to be filled with love is now filled with spiders, snakes, scorpions, all kinds of bugs.
Hey, Mike, don't give up. I mean,
I won't give up. I
understand how you feel. I mean, there are a lot of us who feel this way.
And, I hear that.
I want to tell you, there's I feel and I sense there is this powerful movement that is growing. Maybe I've been listening to Tom Hartman too much.
Marianne Williams.
Yeah,
they help out. I hope you're right.
But yeah, seriously, though, I you know, as a matter of fact, I called you last night and spoke to Mr. Kucinich and everything, too, though. But seriously, I don't have a website up right now. I'm sort of, it's kind of hard working two jobs and trying to pay off tons and tons of debt. But I really want to get a movement started in Ohio. I do.
I hope you do. John, we got a break here.
All right, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Sure, our neighbors are loved just like they'd be liked to be loved themselves.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Can you? Will you play that one more time? You can't do it. Okay. God, that just cracks me up. Shannon is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Shannon.
Hi. Okay. Dishonorable discharge thing that Scott McLaughlin said. I have a link to it. Now, it seemed kind of like it was just a, you know, word problem.
Yeah, Kathy just informed me she's got that link, too, so I guess we'll have it Monday night.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know. I saw it on the board. But are you going to put it, like, on the...
Yeah, we'll probably put it up somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you for locating it for me.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And I just wanted to call before you guys left, and I really do, of course, like everyone else, hope you land somewhere.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Is this your first time calling, Shannon?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got 10 shows left, 5 next week and 5 the week after. So if the spirit moves you, call back in, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Shannon.
All right, thanks.
All right, you take care. We're almost out of time, Marge. I'm sorry, Marge, you got a minute.
Okay. How do you spotlight something with a big microphone?
How do you spotlight it with a microphone? I have no idea.
You know, the thing he didn't tell them, though, is after they got their advanced degrees, there won't be any jobs.
Right. But he's great. It's George Bush. He's insane.
Well, you know, Brother Sky is going to have to up his prayers on getting rid of hemorrhoids because W is still in the White House.
That's very true.
Anyhow, for the night, a little on the lighter side, a little dumb poetry.
Okay, quick.
Roses are blue, violets are pink, immediately after the 13th drink. Happy Triskaidekaphobia.
Yeah, back at you.
And since tomorrow is Thanksgiving, I was hoping you were going to practice carving up a turkey when you go over there.
I'm going to do it.
Take care.
Thank you, Marge.
Be happy.
I will. You take care, too. It is Friday the 13th, isn't it? At the last minute here, I got a poem, a reworking of The Raven. And I'm not going to have a chance to read it. Maybe we'll do it. Oh, this is my favorite song. Con tiro, time to say goodbye? Yeah, it's great. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay produces. Robin Bittman announces. I'll see you Monday, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to America's Sweetheart, Mike Malloy, on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Time to say goodbye.
Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still